Hey everybody, happy Sunday. Whether you're listening to this in the morning, the afternoon, or the evening, or maybe another day, it's a glorious Sunday and we're so excited to be here today. We've been through a lot leading up to this point. We're actually opening the church doors just a little bit today. We're at 10 or less and we have people that are alternating Sundays to make this work. But I just want to come here today and just let you know that Jesus loves you. The church loves you. We miss gathering all together, but we'll be there sooner than later. Well, as we gather here today, we thank the Lord for His goodness. We thank Him for His divine provision in all things. One of God's good provisions for which most can agree is the provisions of moms. If you're alive today, you can thank your mom. Of course, your dad had a little bit to do with it. But it was the mom who carried you to birth, who through a miracle of God and through much traversing, brought you kicking and screaming into this world. And she comforted you even then. It seems only right that after the imposed social distancing and the quarantines that we all have faced over the last 55 days, that as we reassemble, we salute the mothers. Those women of the homes, those women who have been providers, those women who are the educators, the cooks, the cleaners, the glue of most families, we honor you on this Mother's Day in 2020. As we all crawl back out from under our rocks, we are so grateful for God's provisions of mothers with helping us get through these tough times. It was really the moms who was a personification of God's grace within our homes as we began to get on each other's nerves or tensions get tight and we're all just done with this thing. It was the moms most likely who held the families together. She's great, isn't she? Well, today I want to talk about the role of one particular mom found in Scripture. She is unnamed, yet has played a supporting role in many of the New Testament letters that we have today. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 16 and look at verse 13. Now, today is a Mother's Day message, but first I want to lay a little foundation behind this verse to help us gather a deeper understanding and appreciation for what's going on. So if you look down at verse 13 in Romans chapter 16, there's a little verse here. It says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." This is not a widely read or very familiar verse. In fact, the entire chapter is often skipped over by those reading the book of Romans. They get done with chapter 15, and as they look at 16, they go, oh, there's just a bunch of hellos and goodbyes and salutations. What value could that possibly have? I'll just skip over it. But to do so would be losing some of what God has for each of us, even in chapter 16. You see, it's God's word. And all His word is relevant in our lives. Sometimes we just need to look a little deeper to see where it's poking us. So these verses in chapter 16 are the last thoughts and the salutations of Paul to his brothers and sisters in Christ in the church in Rome. They appear almost insignificant, almost like an afterthought. Yet they are God's word. So they must have something for us. And there's little old verse 13. Right in the middle of the 27 verses in chapter 16. Many people believe that if you take a passage from the Word and you go to the verse that's right in the middle of that passage, that that is often the crux, the most important verse in that passage. You may subscribe to that or not, but I found that is true on many occasions. So let's dig a little deeper into this verse and discover what God would say for us today especially his word to the mothers. So who was Rufus? We know from this verse that he was chosen in the Lord. He was also most likely one who was selected for leadership in the church by the Lord. But who was he? In order to understand this, we have to step back 25 years approximately before this letter in Romans was written. We're going to step back to the Gospel of Mark. If you want to turn there now to chapter 15, keep your hands in both places. We're going to be dancing back and forth. Okay, so let's pick up here in verse 21 of Mark 15. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country — country means countryside or fields — and passing by, to bear his cross. Rufus, according to church tradition, was the son of Simon the Cyrenian, the very one who bore the cross of Christ. Many scholars believe that the book of Mark was likely written in the book of Rome, so the casual mention to Rufus and Alexander, people would have known who they were. He didn't need to go into detail. He would just say their name and they would know exactly who he was talking about. And this was the Rufus of Rome that we find in Romans chapter 16. So now let's flip back to Romans chapter 16 for just a minute. Notice in verse 13 that Rufus's mom was mentioned. Paul says to greet her too. Note and consider for a second, if you will, that Rufus and his mom were living in Rome. 25 years earlier, we found Simon of Cyrene in Jerusalem. But now we find his wife and son in Rome. How did this come to pass? Well, we don't know for sure, but we can speculate. Let's flip back to the verse back in Mark about Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene was a city located in northern Africa. We know the area as Libya today. It was a Roman-occupied territory. And Simon, being from there originally, Simon the Cyrenian, possibly was in Jerusalem on business. Maybe he was laboring in the fields. We don't know. The Bible tells us that he was coming in from the countryside. And as he began to get closer to Jerusalem, he began to take notice of a spectacle in its city. And as he pressed his way through the crowds to get a better look at what was happening, he was suddenly grabbed by a Roman guard and ordered to help carry the cross of a beaten and battered man whom the crowds were yelling at. And as he knelt to pick up the cross, one has to wonder, did he meet and gaze into the eyes of the Savior? Maybe in that instance, Simon felt like, this man, who is he? He knows everything about me. I can sense it in my spirit. Well, did he sense something supernatural about the man too, whose cross he was forced to bear? We don't know. But whatever happened, for sure, we can infer that Simon became a follower of Jesus Christ at some point. Maybe it was at the cross, the place called Golgotha, where he carried the cross of Christ. And as he gazed upon the crucifixion of our Savior, he was aware of the earthquake that came right after his death, the darkness that permeated the land. Maybe he began to make a connection. This was no ordinary man, and this was no ordinary cross. Possibly in the hours that followed, he ran into some of Jesus' followers, and they began to tell him the story of who Jesus was. We don't know. Again, we're only speculating. But after this event, Simon went home. He went home to his wife and his two sons, Alexander and Rufus. Could you imagine listening in on that discussion? Oh, you wouldn't believe what I saw. You had to be there. It was amazing. This man, I looked into his eyes and he knew everything about me. I could sense it. Yes, as he began to share the story and the aftermath of the crucifixion, when he heard more about Jesus, he shared with his family. And they all got saved. The wife, Alexander, and Rufus. Now fast forward again to Romans chapter 16. History doesn't tell us what happened to Simon or Alexander. They're no longer mentioned in Romans. But we do know that Rufus and his mom are now living there. They're the two people mentioned in Romans chapter 16. And they are part of the early Christian church. Okay, the background of this verse has been laid. Now, let's extract a message from it that God would want all of us to consider today on this Mother's Day. So let's look back one final time to Romans 16, verse 13, and notice the salutation here. To Rufus, his mother, and mine. Paul's not referring to his mother. He's referring to the mother of Rufus. And he calls her his, mine. Rufus's mom was like a mother to Paul. They were close. God chose to put her in Paul's path. Maybe she was the source that told Paul what it was like for Simon to carry Christ's cross. She was the wife of an eyewitness account to Jesus' suffering and crucifixion. And I could imagine her and Paul sitting on those porches when Paul's had a very long day. And he needed the nurturing of a mother. And so she shared stories of Jesus to Paul. Stories of, you should have been there. Oh, Simon told me time and time again what it was like. You see, Paul probably needed a little boosting in his faith once in a while. I would think so. A little encouragement. A little, hey, it's going to be okay. You can do this. Enter Rufus's mom, sent by God. Because even the apostle Paul needed some nurturing. He needed some tender care. Someone who could be like a mother to him. In fact, the very mother of Rufus. So he was no different. And how grateful we are for our moms. As Rufus's mom was unnamed, many of the things that our moms do, they go unseen, but God sees them and He sees you. He sees what you're doing. He sees your sacrifice. He's very aware. He has placed you in this unique position of motherhood so that you might put into those that come after you the very heart of God to disciple them, to train them up in the ways they should go. But for some, the nurturing days, they're past. Many have lost their mothers. And this day tears at those old wounds. My heart is heavy for you. Yet know that the heart of your mother lives on. Though her actual presence is gone, the heart of a mother lives on in all of us if we are children of God. Now at this point, you're probably scratching your head and go, what are you talking about? Hear me out. The heart of a mother lives on in all of us, both men and women, through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I mean. like a mother, the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, right? He nurtures us, comforts us, He picks us up when we're down. When we're hungry, He feeds us. And there is no place we could ever go that He won't be with us. That sounds a lot like a mom, doesn't it? If I were to say to you, is God more like a man or a woman? Most people would answer, man. He's like a father. You see, in fact, the Bible refers to God as our Heavenly Father all throughout Scripture. In fact, the majority of times. But God is neither male nor female. God is Spirit. It's those characteristics of fatherhood, of being a father, that the Bible refers to when they refer to God as our Heavenly Father. So you would not be wrong if you answered and said God is most likely a man, like a father. But did you know that God has motherly characteristics expressed in the character of the Trinity? As Jesus explained the character of God to His disciples, He used this metaphor. In Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Sounds a little like the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Looking for us. When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Holy Spirit doesn't give up on us. In the heart of a mother, the mother's heart, she doesn't give up on us. She doesn't give up on us. Jesus also compared Himself to a hen longing to gather her chicks under her wing in Luke chapter 13, verse 34. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I have wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But if you were not willing, that would be her brood under her wings. And Jesus gave the Holy Spirit the role of a birthing woman. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That is a metaphor for a woman giving birth. It says the Holy Spirit's like that. When we're born again, it is the Holy Spirit giving birth to us into the kingdom of God. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Now, don't let God's feminine characteristics get mixed up with pagans who refer to God as Mother Nature. Mother Nature is an idol of man's imaginations, but the living God is the creator of all. He is known for His masculine qualities, but He is also known for His feminine qualities. After all, we were made in His image, both male and female. He created us. So Pastor, what is the purpose of all this? What is the connection? Well, I'm glad you ask. I have 2 points. The first is that we can all be a mom to someone. To be a mom to someone does not mean that you need to be a female or even act like a female. Lord knows we got plenty of that going on. All of us can display the heart of a mother to someone. And in doing so, we show them the heart of God. To be a mom to someone does not mean that you gotta love them and show the characteristics of a female. No, you just be a mom. We can look into someone's eyes and validate them. When life is hard, we can be there for them. We can intercede for them. We can show them kindness and never give up on them. Love never quits. God never gives up. And He puts His heart inside us, and the heart of a mom never gives up on our children. Isn't that what moms do? We can call and check in on people to see if there's anything at all they need. My mom still does that to me, and I'm 55 years old. Did I just say that? Okay. I know that I look 25, but yeah, I'm really 55. Oh, keep preaching. Keep believing. So today, I want to encourage all of us to adopt the heart of a mother. To look for ways to love and nurture others. They don't have to be related to them. Rufus's mom showed her heart and the heart of God to Paul. You know, Paul was considered the father of many churches. But did you know he also referred to himself with feminine characteristics at one time? In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 7, it reads, "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." Wow. A nursing mother taking care of her own children. That's how Paul referred to himself and some of the other apostles and the people that traveled with him. Good mothers know that raising children is more than flattering your children so that they will love you more. A good mother bears the truth with gentleness and kindness, with affection, and she labors night and day that you might grow up as a disciple of Christ. Oh, for the prayers of a mom. My life was changed forever through the prayers of my mom. Now, my dad gets lots of credit too. He's right there. But it was her intercessing for me that I believe turned my life around when it could have gone another way. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us day and night. Jesus Christ interceding for us to the Father in the heart of a mother. Can we not all do this? How about the church? Is the heart of a mother ever more needed in a church congregation than it is today? One writer wrote that a church without traits taught by good mothers lacks gentleness, love, and a persistent labor in the gospel. The second point I want to make is that if we're desiring the nurturing of a mother, we're just missing our moms in our life, then all we need to do is draw close to the Holy Spirit. Like a child running into the arms of their mother, He will comfort us, counsel, provide, protect, and go to the ends of the earth to be with us and to draw us closer to Him. He will not let us down. He will love us unconditionally. Boy, we need that in this day, don't we? He displays the heart of a mother as He shows us the heart of God. So looking back today, we are grateful for our mothers. Though some may not be with us any longer, their memory and love still resound with us through the Holy Spirit. It is a time to be thankful for our moms, both past and present, and also a time to imitate those beautiful traits that God gave them and even encourages us to give to others. So to moms everywhere, may God bless you and may He honor you. He sees what you're doing. And for those that have lost their moms, Draw close to the Holy Spirit to get a sense of that nurturing in your own heart. The Holy Spirit is faithful. He will love us like no other. So God bless you as we continue to persevere. The Lord, the Bible tells us that we are building up character. Our hope will not disappoint. These are tough times. We don't know who to believe. Things are coming across the internet now that are just crazy. But they might be true. We just don't know where truth is. But one thing we can always depend on. There's one place we can always go for truth, and that is the Word of God. So I want to encourage everyone to stay in their Bible, to stay in the truth of the Word of God, to seek Him and to draw near the Holy Spirit and be willing to give and show others that heart of a mother. Well, God bless you guys, and may the Lord cause His face to shine upon you in all that you do. Bye-bye. As we move through this.